In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has come in order to bring us a story for our lives. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in my Bible, the way that that Acts reading goes is it starts off, while he was clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them at the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. Now, we kind of helped you out with that a little bit in the bulletin today. Because the big question that comes up is, well, who is this he? And what is this he's story? Why are all of the people rushing together in amazement? Well, the reason that everybody is rushing together in amazement is that there was this lame beggar who stood by the entrance to the temple every day. And as people would go in and leave the temple, they would recognize who this person was. They would recognize him even if they probably wanted to get past him and not give him anything. They would have known who he was. At the Publix that I go to, there's a bunch of guys. They hang out on the corner just outside of the Publix. And they are there. It seems like they're always having a really good time. But they also have signs that say that they need some help, and occasionally people will bring them some money. But everybody kind of knows who those guys are. In fact, you kind of get to know who they are, and you start to notice if those guys start to change. Oh, there's a new guy there. They found a friend. And as you kind of think about who those people might be, maybe for you it's the people at the corner of Tennessee and Macomb. And maybe for you it's some people that are someplace else. But when you think about it, there are some people that are out there that you know, and you know what's going on with them. You know what at least it seems their life is like. Well, that was like this guy who was lame. He couldn't walk. He was stuck there in front of the temple begging in order that he might have a life, that he might be able to live out his days, to have food and to have a few other creature comforts that might help him out. Well, this guy was there at the temple, and it happens that Peter and John were walking by him, and he cried out to them, and they looked at him, and they said, "Well, you know, I'm sorry, buddy. Silver or gold, I do not have." And I'm sure that this guy was used to hearing that. I'm sure that he had heard that from all sorts of other people, that said, "Sorry, all I've got on me is plastic." Unlikely for this time, but you know, whatever excuse works at the time. And so, yeah, they were kind of like, well, you know, I've got all of these excuses. I don't have silver or gold with me today, but you know, maybe I'll catch you tomorrow. And then Peter says this crazy thing because he says, "But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk." And the man has faith in that. And the reason that we know that he has faith in that is that he gets up and he rises and he walks. Because if he didn't have faith in that, well, then he still would have been just kind of sitting there, right? If he said, "Oh yeah, nice, thanks. Thanks for making a joke out of the lame guy in front of the temple. Thanks for telling me to do something that I can't do." But no, instead, we know that he has some faith there because he actually gets up and he walks. And when he starts to walk, well, people start to notice. People start to go, "Well, that's that guy. That's that guy who I know was at the temple all of the time. That's that. How is this guy walking now? And what's his story? What's going on with this guy?" And then Peter starts to tell the story. This great story of who Jesus is. The kind of Jesus's life story. telling this story about this man who was a righteous prophet in Israel. This man who was the very Son of God. This man who was crucified, died, and was buried. This man who was put to death unrighteously, but as he was put to death, died for our sins and rose again from the tomb so that we might know that we have eternal life. And Peter connects things up. He connects up that because of that story, because of that story of Jesus, that now this man's story is being subsumed into that. That this man's story is a part of Jesus' story. That this man's story is something that links up with the story of that guy who was crucified, died, was buried, and then rose again from the tomb. That power that was inside of that person who died and rose again is now at work in this lame beggar that everybody is coming to see. And everybody's wondering, what's the story here? So this morning, you know, we have a bit of a similar experience because we're going to have somebody who's not lame in any way of that word, but somebody who we're maybe asking, well, what's the story there? One of the things about Kyle is that Kyle doesn't make much ado about himself. Kyle, a lot of times, you'll find him kind of over there in the back corner. I think this is the closest to the altar you've ever sat. Yeah. And he doesn't make a big deal out of himself. And so when Kyle comes up this morning and he gets baptized and he gets confirmed, there's a little bit going through people's minds. If you've just seen Kyle on a Sunday morning and maybe you've talked to him a little bit, maybe you haven't, but there's probably a question of like, well, what's Kyle's story? And I feel like I'm pretty lucky because I've gotten to know Kyle's story. I've gotten to know a few things about who Kyle is, that Kyle is a Florida State student here, that he's in the College of Anthropology, that he wants to go into the Park Service, hopefully, or something like that. I know that he has a lot of time that he spends in museums because of his classes, which sounds really cool to me. I know that there's also some other stuff to his life, that he came to Florida State and he was looking around for Christian community and he kind of tried out a few different places and he ended up here. He ended up here and started to listen to what was happening here in our community. That as he started to hear what was happening in our community, as he started to hear the Word of God, he came up to me one time and said, "Hey, can you tell me a little bit more about this baptism? I think I want to be baptized." I said, yeah, let's get together. Let's talk. And so we talked about that. And then on top of that, after he felt like, oh, okay, like I'm ready to get baptized. After that, I said, well, there's this thing called Luther's Small Catechism. And a like for us to go through that. It's kind of an explanation of the basics of what Christianity is all about. Let's go through that. And he said, well, yeah, okay, let's go through that. And so we spent a lot of time in my office talking back and forth to one another. And that's where Kyle's life and my life kind of come together. But throughout that process, it's been more of Kyle's life and my life coming together because it's been Kyle's life and Jesus' life coming together. And that's what's happening in a big way today in this baptism. It is just like that lame beggar who sat outside of the temple, Kyle, that you are being entered into God's story in a specific way this morning. You're not being lamed, not being healed of being crippled, but you are being healed of your sin. You are hearing those words of gospel applied directly to you in the waters of holy baptism here. And after we do that, and after you're confirmed, you'll come up here, and you will receive God's body and God's blood shed and given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And that in those things, your life and Jesus' life are coming together because you're a part of his story. And he's been a part of your story for so much of your life as you've kind of been raised in the faith and you've been inquiring about things and reading through the Bible and continuing to read through the Bible. Kyle's kind of next big step is he wants to read through the Old Testament. He's read through the entire New Testament, or at least up until Hebrews, which is, I mean, almost all the way there. And so he's gotten to this place where he's continuing that story that is his story, but it's also the story of Jesus in his life. And not only that, Kyle, but because you're getting baptized and confirmed here, and because we're a Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace, because you're being baptized here, you are now a part of our story as well in a new and significant way as you're baptized and confirmed here, that you're being brought in to this community in a special way, just as the rest of you have been or could be a part of what it is to be a community of God's people. Community together of people that say, my story and the story of Jesus have come together. And the beautiful thing is that as John is writing to the people that he's writing to, probably the people in Ephesus, that what's happening here is not just that you're joining a dead story. You're not just joining something that's happened in history, but you're joining something that is living and continuing. So that even John doesn't know where this is going. John writes that we don't know what we're going to be like because we haven't seen that yet, but we know that when Jesus appears, we will be like him. As our hope is pure in him. And that's what it means for Kyle to come up here in a little bit. That's what it means for you to come up here when you come up for communion. It's what it means for you to be here in this room hearing God's word read and preached to you. That we're all a part of God's story, of Christ's story, as he has died and risen for us, so that we might know that we are a part of a story that isn't just dead and buried, but continues on in resurrected life forever and ever. Amen.